Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. We bring our series on the Sermon of the Mount to an end with the Reverend Fabian Firth reflecting on who to listen to. The readings are taken from Matthew 7, verses 13 to 20, and 2 Timothy, verses 4 to 8.
The first reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 20, continuing Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, starting at verse 13. The narrow and wide gates. Enter now through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our second reading is taken from the second book of Timothy, chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. And this is in the section, A Final Charge to Timothy. And Paul notes in this one that his time is coming to closing. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all your duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray. Jesus, open our ears to hear your voice, our heart to receive you, and our wills to put in practice your way of life. Amen. So we're coming to the end of our series, Sermon on the Mount. There's still a few verses after that, but we won't be able to cover that because we are moving into a new series with our summer holiday. And so it's going to be a close now. It's a little bit early, but I think at some other points in the last year, we've kind of explored especially this text that ends the Sermon on the Mount, which is about the two houses, the one that is built on the rock and one that is built on the sand. But I think this passage is just about that. Who do we listen to and who do we follow? Which voices are we going to follow through our lives? So we just heard there are many voices in our world. Maybe we are in a society when we can hear things that would be unthinkable before. One of the way we can hear a lot of things is through the radio. So I wonder what kind of radio listener you are. So let's do a little test. If you are, I know it's like a mixture, it's like how you feel, but mainly if you really like Radio 4, who likes Radio 4? I do like Radio 4. We have quite a few Radio 4 people. Then we have Classic FM. Yeah, who likes Classic FM? I like Classic FM when I'm in the car. So I'm the Classic FM. My wife is the Hard FM. So who's the Hard FM? You know, not many. Oh, yeah, we have a few. We have a few Hards. There we go. Now, if you have to choose between Radio 1, 2, and 3, who would be 1? I would be more 1. Who would be 2? And who would be Radio 3? There we go. That's it. Yeah. If you had to choose between Tone FM and Apple FM, who would be Tone FM? I think that would be more. Who would be Apple FM? You have no idea what Apple FM is. Probably we listen to kind of a variety, but it would say something of who you are, what you like, who you listen to. What about this one? You most probably know that expression that if you want to know someone, look at their bookshelves. Yeah. Now that becomes more and more difficult because more and more of our bookshelves are kind of virtual. You know, they might be on your iPad, so it might be difficult to recognize. But again, you know, are you a fiction person or a non-fiction? Do you like detective novel, crime novel, romantic novel, or are you into poetry? Do you read to relax in general, or do you read to learn? Do you have an interest in history, politics, social science, psychology, philosophy, and may dare I say, maybe theology? It will tell something about who we are and also something about who we listen to. And it's good to listen to different voices and to, you know, reflect and think, but there is one voice that should always be above all the others, and that's the voice of Jesus. And I think that's where Jesus is coming at here in our reading. We have this well-known passage of entering through a gate, and it says one is narrow and one is wide. The one that is narrow has a hard road, and the one that's wide has an easy road. The one leads to life, and the one leads to the other leads to destruction. The first one, not many are willing to take it. The second one, many are happy to take it. So what is Jesus here talking about? Is he interested in actually telling us, you know, only a few will be saved? I don't think so. He's not saying, you know, we'll be 5% safe, 95% unsafe, 10% or 20%. Actually, looking at the context again and looking also at the verbs and the tense, Jesus is interested to grab the attention of his readers and his listeners at the time. And the listeners at the time were the Jews. And it would have been strange for them to hear that a few will find a narrow door and that the majority goes through a wide door. They all thought we're part of the covenant. For sure, God is on our side. So the context when Jesus speaks is about, I'm talking to you and I want you to enter the narrow gate. I want you to have life. That's his purpose in a sense of shocking. He wants everybody to find life. But he says it's going to be a narrow gate. The Greek word for broad is spacious and roomy. The Greek word for the narrow is kind of confined. So, enter through the narrow gate. If you look a little bit just after that chapter, you have some stories of healings. And one of the first healing you get in chapter 8 is a Roman centurion, a non-Jew, an enemy. And he gets it. Jesus, he comes, he sends someone to Jesus, and because his daughter is sick, and he says, please, you know, heal my daughter. But he says, don't come to me, because I know the rules. You know, Jews don't mix with Gentiles. Just say the word, and I know my daughter will be saved. And Matthew puts that passage to just show those they thought would never enter the kingdom, a Roman, a Gentile, is the example of how do we enter the kingdom? By faith. By trusting oneself in the person of Jesus. And he was preparing the Jews to what was going to happen on the cross and the reality of the resurrection, that salvation was now to come through him, that he was going to be the way, the life, and the truth. So what is the narrow gate? What is he talking about? Well, it's narrow because it's only one option. It's one way. And it's a person. It's not a plan, it's not a philosophy, it's not do this and do that, and God will be impressed and will take you into his presence. No, it's a person and it's relational. And for a relation to work, it's every day. And in a sense, you know that, you know, those close relationships that we have, it's a delight, it's a joy, but it's hard work if we want to make it succeed. So maybe God, Jesus is saying something. The road is hard. It's not hard because it's so complicated, but because it's a commitment day after day after day to live out of a relationship with Jesus. Outside Jesus, there is no rescue. There is no life. There is no redemption. There is no hope. I believe when Jesus says the narrow gate, he was pointing to him. He is the narrow gate. He will say in John's Gospel, I tell you this truth, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me, I will rescue and I will care for. In another place, he says, I am the way. We could translate it with the road. I am the road, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You might recognize that picture from a series called The Chosen. I do encourage you. You can download it as an app. You can see it, I think, on Netflix or Amazon. But it's a great series. But I liked when the picture was shown, I think, a few weeks ago. You remember that the passage just before is about knocking, seeking, and asking. And you knock at a door, and you enter into the presence. And that's the gate. We enter through the gate into the presence of Jesus. And I need to look at that eyes more often. Sometimes I feel Jesus more as someone who says, you know, it's not enough what you're doing. You have that feeling, you woke up in the morning and you don't think it's not enough. Jesus says, I am with you always. Now our culture is a culture of pluralism, many ways. And so the suggestion that there's only one way to God is not very popular to our modern ear, but that's the claim that Jesus makes. There is no name in heaven or on earth by which one must be saved, only through Jesus. And we can't have a foot on one road and a foot on the other road. It's a hard road because it's a total commitment of all our lives, all that we are, all our resources. Now, it is a journey, and yesterday we had a service here with lay ministry, so that's all the ministry in the churches that are done by people like you. And the theme was journey. Yes, it's something we grow into, but the commitment must be total. A paraphrase from that narrow gate and broad gate is, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, the way to God, is vigorous and requires total and everyday turning to Jesus. That's the Christian life. And then Jesus moves into warnings about false prophets. And he says, be careful. False prophets are like a wolf in sheep clothes. Can you see the wolf there in the middle? It's just right at the middle, staring at you. It's very difficult to find, yeah. Beware of false prophets. You know them by what they do. Now, again, for a Jew, they were used to hear stories of false prophets. They had, in the Old Testament, lots of stories of prophets that were misguiding, misdirecting, misquoting the intentions of God. A prophet was someone who was the spokesmouth of God, helping the people, coming, returning, living the life that God wanted. And of course, in that time, was around the law, the Moses law. He says, be aware of them, but don't try to see what you can't see. We can't see motivations and the agenda. That's what's wrong with wrong prophets. We could extend it to teachers, to pastors, to vicars, any leaders who are there normally to help the people live the life that God intends them to live. It's about motivation and agenda. It's about what happens in my heart. You can't see that. God sees it. But there is something you can see, is the fruits. And that's what Jesus says. You're not there to try to find out the motivation, but you will recognize by their fruit. Good trees cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And so he goes on to, people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Good trees bear good fruits, bad trees bear bad fruit. Good trees cannot bear bad fruit, and bad trees cannot bear good fruit. I like Jesus, because if you don't get the first time, he said the second time, and then he repeated three times at least. I think that a good preacher should always repeat three times things at least. The message says, don't be impressed with charisma, look for character. Now, there is nothing wrong with charisma. It's good to have, you know, an energetic leader, and but that's not the main point. Look for character. And so, looking at our second reading, I think Paul gives, definitely to Timothy, but to all of us, some characteristic of what a good leader, a good preacher, a good teacher should look like. So what are they? Well, he starts by saying that we will be judged by Jesus Christ. And I think any good teacher, any good pastors, any good vicar, any good leaders knows that. He is not talking on his own. He's bearer of a message that doesn't belong to him or to her. He's there to represent someone, Jesus, someone he will see or she will see. And so that person is intensely aware that he is the bearer of a message. He doesn't have the liberty to come up with his own interesting ideas, although we have some creativity, of course, but it should always direct to Jesus, to Christ. It should be Christ-centered. The message, the gate, is a person, And that's what happened in the book of Acts. And I'm just going to hear one of the story there when Peter, and it shows what is the heart of a good leader. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, said to them, "Ruler and leaders of the people," those are the Jews, "if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, there has been a healing taking place, then know this, you and all the people, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven and earth given to mankind by which we must be saved." I think one of the characteristics is humility. It's even if a person has a successful ministry, they will say, "It is Jesus' power through me and in me. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's God's presence who transforms, who heals, who makes things flourish." And it happens when we are Christ-centered, when we preach the cross, where we find our forgiveness, and when we preach resurrection, bodily resurrection. Often I hear, people rejoicing when we die, we'll be in God's presence and, you know, we won't have any pain. But that's not the end. What God has in mind is bodily resurrection. He will renew the whole creation and will give us new bodies. We will live with new bodies, like Jesus had a new body when he showed himself for 40 days. So Christ-centered. There we go. The second one is that they're also aware that they're working towards the coming of the kingdom. The kingdom has already come in Jesus. The reign of God is there. And they prepare the people to grow in that reality. Jesus died for you on your behalf. Humanity in this current state is unfit for God's future, for what he wants to do with recreation. It needs to go through a new birth. That's what John says. A birth from above. A birth from God's Holy Spirit. And it comes when we realize our condition and our need for grace, for mercy, for forgiveness. And we start that relationship then with God. It says here, preach the word. So a good leader, preach the word. But that word, preach, is Keruzzo, which means announce the coming of someone. A herald is someone who's announcing the coming of someone else. That's what a good vicar, a good pastor, a good teacher, he should continuously announce the coming of someone else, the coming of Jesus, who comes in our own life today, that's the coming of the kingdom now, but who will also come in the future. And so preach the word, and the word, we have the written word that leads to Jesus, the living word, and the living words become a words of power when it's done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, no, thirdly, there's four points. Sorry, there's 4 points. There should be three, but I have 4 points. The person who preaches is not dependent on the reception. Now, I must tell, as a vicar, that's hard. I would prefer, you know, to talk to you and you have big smiles and I feel good about myself then. It's hard when you have to say a message. That's hard. That's difficult. But look at the words that Paul used. He doesn't start with, you know, being all, you know, encouraging and kind. He starts with correct, rebuke, and encourage. Those are not easy words to say for a leader. Correct, rebuke. But it has to be with an attitude of love and of sensitivity. Correct is about redirecting. Teach your people to focus on Jesus. And it says here, how do we do it? How should we do it? With patience and careful instruction. Careful instructions lead people into the life that they are meant to live. And that happens in season when things go well, and that happens out of season, when people are not so receptive. They might be opposed, they might criticize, they might resist, they might reject. Finally, point number four, someone who's clear-headed. He says here, the time is coming. Paul really felt, and he had his share of, you know, false teacher that he had to rebuke, and most of his letter was addressing, correcting, instructing. But he was seeing a time when it would even grow. People will come, wolf in clothed sheep, and they will gather around great numbers of teachers. Now, we don't know, in Timothy, it might be pointing to a movement called Gnosticism. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it looks like. And Gnosticism was about a secret kind of knowledge that you could discover, and only a few had this kind of spark in themselves. And it was all kind of very strange myths. But they would use scripture, they would try to refer them to Jesus, and some of it happens today with kind of hidden gospels and apocrypha and things like that. But basically, they're clear-headed. Sound doctrine, healthy, proof and tested. And the idea of, what's the word here, itching ears, is this. Itching ears means having their ears tickled. So those teachers, they tickled your ears because you're not really interested in the depth, you know, you just want to amuse yourself. So merely scratched their eardrums without penetrating deeper. And I think that's why I'm exciting at this church. The first of the principle that guides our life is to be rooted, to be deeply rooted in prayer, in the Bible, the whole of Scripture, and the life of Jesus. You can find that in our website. It's a vision and our principles are encountering God, growing as followers of Jesus, and participating in the life of the Spirit. And the first principle is that deeply rooted in prayer. I'm excited about the 30 days, the things we continue, but deeply rooted in prayer, in the Bible, and the life of Jesus. That's what we aspire. So to whom am I listening most? Well, as Christian, yes, it should be Jesus. It should be taking time in Scripture. It should be taking time in prayer with one another to encourage one another. And Paul then ends with, he is the one who fought the good fight, who listened the right voices, who kept the faith. He says, I fought the good fight, which for him was to proclaim Christ to the Gentiles, to plant communities that were Christ-centered, to instruct those communities, to live out their new identity as Christians. It was to be a servant of Christ, and the word servant is slave, doulos, to give us his whole life in service to the cause of Jesus. And he finished that race, and he kept the faith in Jesus. Now, your fight will be different than mine. Your race will be different than mine. But that's the challenge. And it's not a fight and a race we do on our own strength, but day by day, with the help of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, we will grow into those Christ-centered actions and purposes. So live out your identity of son and daughter with the energy that God gives you. Listen to Jesus. He is the narrow gate. Walk with him closely and engage with him. And we will be amazed what God will do in us, through us, individually, but more importantly, as a body. So let's pray. Jesus, we recognize you as the only way for us to find life, meaning, purpose, forgiveness. And if there is anyone today who still doubts whether they have you as their Lord and Savior, please speak to them and maybe give them the energy to go for prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are alive, and thank you for the gift of the Spirit. Lead us into your good future as a church, and protect us, Lord, from being us going astray. Help us to walk that road, that narrow road, which is the road to life, walking closer to you. We ask that in your name. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.